of you who are on the phone with us this evening. If you'd like to participate in this call, please send a text message to 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. Thank you. We're going live with our broadcast. And our broadcast is live. We'll give everyone just a moment to come back on the line, and then we'll get started. Well, thank you, and welcome to the Tuesday night celebration of life. It's great to be with you. This has been just an amazing day. A validation of those things that we have been teaching. We've been talking about goal setting in the last couple of weeks, last week, and we'll finish that up this week. As we meet each Tuesday night, we talk about these principles. It is my hope and my preparation for this evening and our thoughts after we finish these broadcasts that you may be able to actually take these principles and apply them in your life. We talk about feel-good self-improvement, where we're hoping that if we just read enough or listen enough or attend enough, that something miraculous might actually happen in our lives. Truth is, they can prepare us for those moments to actually take the action. I have a note right here on my computer. I'll show it to you. There it is right there. It reads, jump first, peace second. Jump first, peace second. When Og says, my procrastination, which was born of fear, which has held me back. He said, I've learned from this mind from the depths of all courageous hearts, core meaning heart of hearts, that to conquer fear, I must act without hesitation, and the flutters in my heart will vanish. That only action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, to peace of mind. It is becoming so clear in today's world that we are so paralyzed, can be paralyzed by the circumstances of our lives. And we want solutions before we take action. We want to see the end before we start the beginning. And I just want to emphasize again tonight the importance of jump first, peace second, which means if we want peace, it won't come before we take the action. We will find it when we take the action. Action must come first. Second of all, if we want inspiration, there will be times when we'll take action first. Not going there today. I am choosing to stay in creation. Weak as he who allows his thoughts to control his actions, strong as he who forces his actions to control his thoughts, I am forcing myself to control my thoughts. I am choosing to go into one of five ways of mental creation. And I am not expecting this phase of creation to give me the result of a tangible nature. It doesn't happen that way. It's a wonderful thing to finally embrace this reality and begin to practice the principles instead of resisting and resenting what might have been happening in our lives when our desire is to engage in life, not to go to ease and get away from everything, engage in life and embrace principles. Connect with and serve people, create value everywhere we go, and contribute to the world. When that's our deep, deep intention, and we come to creation, we are saying, guide me. We go into the future and mentally rehearse an upcoming event so that we get an inspired idea of how we could show up differently. What could we do? What do we need to bring that we haven't thought of? It's like if there is a power in the universe, and I believe that there is, I call that power God. That power knows, and if our intention is truly to bless this person, we can ask and receive the answer. What is it? Well, it's not like there's going to be a voice from heaven that says, I want you to do this. We'll get an idea. That's how that power speaks to us. We'll get an impression. we'll get an idea, a solution to a problem. I had one today. It's just mind-blowing. So I was talking with Jim Hennig from our board of directors, Dr. Hennig, about the Greatest Salesman in the World project. And we'll be making some announcements here in the next few weeks about that movie project. We're very excited. And as I was sharing with him, I got that download, that inspired moment of how we can bring in the book the Arab community, the Jewish community, the Christian community all together and agree on one thing. The principles in the Ten Scrolls, they transcend it all and provide us with a framework where all can work together and agree. I can imagine the Greatest Salesman in the World movie that starts to unite the world. Now that's love in action. Anyway, we have these kinds of moments where we just get a download, an insight, and it gets us all excited. I was on fire when this idea came today, and I saw, I haven't shared it with you, but I saw the pieces and where they fit and how it all could work. I saw the storyline, which I've been struggling to find in the script, the storyline. It was so exciting. It was just a mental rehearsal. I was sitting here talking to Jim in my mind, going to and imagining this production. And I saw it, just like you can see those things that you're struggling to get inspiration about. So it's an exciting thing to know that mental rehearsal allows us to go on the stage of our mind, invite a partner, the power that governs the universe, and with the intention of blessing the lives of people, and fully expect an inspired idea, an impression. Now that's one of many experiences. This has just been a download day. As we have watched things unfold at the Og Mandino Group, it's so exciting. It's so exciting to know because the only thing we've done is apply the very principles we teach. Because every time something's not working the way we want it to work, I turn to Ramon and say, which of these principles are we not living? I've said that to you before, but it's true. And with more earnestness, with more determination, more intention, we plug right back into the very things that we share on these Tuesday night calls. This isn't to be just a fun experience. This is to give us insight into how to actually live on a daily basis. So mental rehearsal is a very powerful way to live. Another one we've mentioned is inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. Ask the question in the morning. Keep it on your heart, especially when you're tempted to go into that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. Not going there today. Staying inspiration, in creation. I'm going to keep thinking about people until somebody comes to my mind and I'm going to step out and serve them. I'm going to serve. I can tell you that when we do, we put that bread out on the water, it just comes back. It's just a law of abundance. But we can't sit waiting for the bread to be delivered because we think we're worthy of bread. We must be actively participating in this process. We've talked about exploration, where we try on possibilities without making tangible commitments. This is a wonderful thing to do when we're working on a script or we're working on a project in the yard or we're working on decorating a room, whatever it might be, to explore possibilities before we actually make the tangible commitment. It lessens, it mitigates the mistakes. That's a wonderful thing to do. Before we spend the money or spend the time, we actually try them on in our very vivid imaginations. These are three powerful ways. Problem solving is the fourth. This particular part of our mind that we're discussing, that we use for mental creation, is systemic in nature. What that means is the process is dualistically. All or nothing, right or wrong, win or lose, all or nothing. Life or death. If there's a situation in your life that's unresolved, and it's got a solution, you just haven't found it, consciously say, okay, my systemic mind. I'm going to turn you loose on this. Most of you have very analytical measurements, analytical, goal-oriented, those two measurements in the middle of your assessment. Many of you have them orange and red. They're overactive. They will effortlessly spin on something until a solution is found. They cannot stop until it's found. Just don't give them a problem that's unsolvable. And there are some unsolvable challenges. There's not a solution to that, so you look at a different alternative. Don't keep stewing on something that can't be resolved, such as, my house is worth this much, my mortgage is this much. Well, thinking isn't going to change those two facts. The solution is someplace else. So we open up our mind and we let it just continually churn and think, and it'll be pulling on all of our life experiences, everything we've ever learned. And all of a sudden at 3 o'clock in the morning, we sit up in bed, and boom, there's the idea. Wow. Those are really cool moments. And the fourth way of creation is goal setting. Goal setting is mental creation at its finest. Because in goal setting, we use all of those elements. We use mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving. All of them get used in the goal setting process. We are going into the future, to the stage of our mind, inviting that partner to join us, that power that governs the universe, who wants nothing more than for us to maximize our ability, to strain our potential until it cries for mercy, wants us to stretch and grow and shed our old skin because it doesn't fit anymore, who wants us to become all that we can become. And we show up on that stage of our mind, as we discussed last week, and the topic is a companion. I want to be honoring. I want to practice fidelity, commitment. I want trust to be in my home. I want our relationship to have intimacy and tenderness, kindness. Can you imagine that partner being approached with this kind of a request? Would you be willing to show me the possibilities? Now, last week we talked about going to age 85, and I just chose that because when I asked, show me the possibilities, that's what I saw. I didn't share that with you as go to age 85 specifically, see this, see that. It's not a system. It's just go to that space and see the possibilities. You may see something very different than what I see. Because maybe at age 85, your life will be different. Ida saw me sitting next to Ramona, looking in her eyes, holding her hand, drinking a cup of hot chocolate, sitting on the back porch of our cabin in Bear Lake. That's what I saw. Since we loved to be there, it was very easy for me to work backwards. Our grandchildren want to come and see us. Why? Our children love to be with us. Why? What have we done all of these years? And it drives our decisions for what we do on our weekends and when we call them, and Ramona, what she does for birthdays and whatever it might be. It just drives us. We want to have this relationship with our family. And ultimately, we want to have it with one another. I put a little post this morning on Facebook. I just wanted to congratulate all of those and show gratitude to all those who have 100% commitment for their companions. I just love them and adore them. This is a great commitment. You see the goal setting piece? The goal setting piece is I go into the future in my mind. I invite my partner onto the stage, and with the intention of engaging in my life and embracing principles and connecting with and serving my companion and creating value throughout our lives and then contributing to the world as a partnership, asking for a clear vision of what's possible. And when we receive that vision, that inspired idea, impression, it lights up part of our brain that we normally don't use. It gets exciting. And I gave you some examples. Once you see that, what could you do in the next year to make sure that happens? Whatever it is you see in the next quarter. quarter, what could you do for 3 days? In the next month, what could you do for a day? In the next week, for a date night? Next week, the next day, what could you do? I just broke it down into schedules because Hogg says let's set goals for the day, the week, the month, the year, and for our life. Those were the instructions. Once we have a clear vision, there is a tendency for us to go, well, that's what I want. And so we spend a lot of time there. We don't need to go there more than one time. We have seen it. We actually went there. Now we come back here and look up at it, as Og says, I keep my eyes on the goals above my head and I ignore those obstacles at my feet. My focus now is not going back and revisiting and revisiting and living what it'll like beyond that. My mission is to focus on today. What can I do today to make that happen? What could I do this week to make sure that happens? What could I do this month, this quarter, this year? And if I follow that pattern here, staying here, focused on these things, when I get there, it will not be a surprise. It'll be delightful. It'll be a wonderful moment, joyful, almost, well, beyond words. But it won't be a surprise because it will have been intentionally created. It will not be a mistake. It will happen because my partner, power that governs the universe, showed me the possibility. I asked for guidance in what I could do in the next year, quarter, month, week, and day, and got additional ideas. Those are wonderful moments. Private, religious observances, if you will. Just between you and the power that governs the abundance, no religion. Just between you and the power. These are powerful, powerful moments for us to experience. Well, that's goal setting in a relationship. If we don't have one, we talked about focusing on what we want as a partner and then stepping into their world and finding out what they're going to be looking for. Then doing an inventory with our own life. We're doing this anyway. This whole goal setting in a partnership is an inventory. That's what we want to have. Oh, what is it like right now? We'll get into an exercise here in the next few weeks. You know, what's it like to be in a relationship with someone who always needs to be right? Let's get that weeded out of our lives. Let's find good in other people's ideas. Let's start becoming the person where we can have a good day and a good week and a good month and a quarter and a year. But that's the goal setting. I just want to make that clear tonight because we can get stuck on process. And if you simply go to age 85 and try to get a vision for it and work your way back, I can promise you, you haven't finished the task. You haven't been goal setting. You've listened to me say it. It sounded very interesting and attractive, but you haven't done it. I got an email this week from somebody who did. They actually did. They talked about the fact that their relationship had been strained, and they finally got to a point where they had no choice but to actually execute on this plan. She called the article she wrote for me the 10-second kiss. It's been years since they've been on non-negotiable date nights. I got emotional reading it because they talked about what was happening to their relationship. And every day they made a commitment to have a 10-second kiss. She said it's like dating again. Their conversations are rich and deep. Now, she's the only one who's been through the coaching program. Her husband hasn't attended. But he was willing to participate. What a glorious thing to get that article this week. This email, I probably will publish it in our next newsletter. The 10-second kiss, watch for it. This is someone who took this seriously and actually did it. But I can tell you right now that when she did it, she did not just go to age 85 and work her way back. She got her own vision of what the possibilities were for them. Her own vision. You'll want your own because it's the vision. That's the secret to the goal setting. It's your vision. Manifest by a power greater than yourself. That's what gets you excited. That's what drives the process. Not just an arbitrary date and age. It's your vision of that moment. What does it look like? consciously on the stage of your life with the force of creation as a partner, you can see. And when you do, the rest of it will be easy to do. If you're having challenges doing that year, quarterly, monthly, weekly, now you know why. No vision. It's just become another thing you have to do. It's a to-do list. It's a New Year's resolution. We don't keep those. I'll tell you what, when you see the vision, and you see the possibilities, oh, it'll drive your actions. Those kind words that are spoken even when you might not feel kind. Well, we're going to go into business tonight. We're going to talk about how do you goal set in a business. We're going to talk about those of you who are entrepreneurial, have your own business. Many of you have home-based businesses in addition to a day job. So I'm going to give you some ideas. Again, what I'm going to share with you is the structure that I saw that came from my vision of the future. So let me give you an idea or two just to give you guidance in getting that vision. The very first thing that we want to do is get very clear on an income goal. How much income do you want to generate in the next year? Now, I suggest we don't go beyond a year. You know, we saw the stock market drop 634 point something points yesterday and back up 400 and something today. The volatility index is off the charts. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Beyond probably a year, they said today, Ben Bernanke said, we're going to extend these 0 to 0.25% interest rates at least into early or mid-2013, which sent a pretty interesting signal to the markets that there isn't going to be much growth between now and then, and they'll tolerate a certain amount of inflation. Well, that's not important for right now. Just take a look at you. What would you like to create in the next year? And you're going, well, how would I know that, or how can I make that commitment? You may not be able to by yourself. Remember, we're going to go on to the stage of your mind a year from now. You're going to go there and just be there with the intention of engaging in life like you never have before. That you're going to embrace these principles and live them. That you're going to commit to connect with people and serve them. I don't think I can repeat these enough times. We're going to create value throughout the year with everyone we meet. Sometimes it'll go better than others. And we're going to contribute. We're not going to take from the world. We're going to give back something in service. Now that we know that, we're on the stage of our mind a year from now. We consciously invite the power of creation to be there with us. Whatever name you want to give the power, whatever your belief system is. I have mine, others have different ones, that's okay. I don't think that power is as offended as we might think. Just by acknowledging its power and our desire to partner with it in doing those five things we mentioned. Engage, embrace, connect, create, and contribute. That's the secret. It's our intention. And here we are in the stage of our mind a year from now, pondering our life. What do you see? What do you see? What's the possibility? Now, Og says to set our goals really high. Lately, in the last decade, we've had a tendency to be a little fantastical, a little fantasy. If we did $50,000 this last year, it probably wouldn't be wise to go to $5 million. But be on the stage of your mind. See what you see, whatever that is. What do you see? Is it $50,000? Is it $100,000? When you see that amount, write it down on a piece of paper. feel it. And be there till you can. If you think, oh, this is stupid, what am I doing? What you're doing is connecting with the very force you're going to partner with to bless the lives of people to make that income possible. That's what you're doing. Take this seriously. Will you just go through the motions for another year? Or we can engage at a level that'll bring such joy to your life and bless the lives of so many others. Be in that space. Be serious about this. Get clear. Write the number down. Now, all I'm going to ask you to do is compare that number against a number that represents a 50% increase over this year. Just take a look. It's just a gauge to make sure that we're not setting ourselves up for failure. One might say, well, who is the question this power? Well, who is the question? No one. Point being, we just want to be careful that we're really getting an inspired number. Okay, now we have a number. Now I want you to get really clear about what you're going to do with the excess income. Last week we talked about a one-week trip or a quarterly trip or a monthly trip, or there's some things we might want to do to build our relationship, and those might take some funds. They need to be expensive, but they may take some. We may have last week said, well, how do I pay for something like that? Well, I'm showing you this is exactly how you pay for it. I want you to imagine that 50% increase and using it, first of all, in building your relationship. Then what else might you do? Some might say, well, I'm going to pay off some debt. Wise. Or I'm going to put some money away for the kids' college. Probably wise. Or, excuse me, we need a newer car. Just be wise to purchase. Do well. Get clear. If the number you've selected is considerably less than a fantasy number, be prepared, because you might experience a little bit of a sense of loss, because your mind can be so attached to that possibility from past fantasy that is the reality. And anything less than that is like somebody's cutting your heart out or stealing money out of your bank account. But we acknowledge that's just in my mind. As attached as I am to it, it's just in my mind. I want to actually create this number. I'm going to focus on being present in the now, doing the work necessary to create that number. I can always raise it. Always raise it. As soon as it's accomplished. Og says that in Scroll 8. Just as soon as my goal is accomplished, boom, I raise it. Now, get clear on what you're going to do with it. This may be the only time I'll ask you to go to a time when you have it and actually experience something in the future. And part of it is because the number's doable. This could happen. And I want you to get clear on possibilities, very real things you could do with that 50% increase, very real things, versus the fantasy things we might spend time on late at night when we're trying to go to sleep. So, in this moment, you may not have seen the number, but this is an exercise for you this week. Spend some time here seeking some inspiration, mentally rehearsing. 1 year from now, what is it? Making sure that it's within reason. And what are you going to do with the excess? If you had an extra $20,000 in your bank account right now today, what kind of a difference would it make for you? Not a fantasy million, but a real 20. What would you do differently? And once you're clear on that, and that vision is very clear, then we're going to go to a next step of the process. The step is pretty simple. We're going to convert dollars into people. Dollars into people. You see, when we chase the dollar, we often crush the people. When we serve the people, the natural byproduct is the dollars. It's law. So we want to convert the dollar amount we'd like to make to numbers of people. If you're in a home-based business, how many products will you need to sell? How many people will you want to bring into your business, and what level? Be clear on this. If you're in the services industry, you say, well, I sell insurance. How's this going to work? We're clear. clear on how many policies you'd want to sell and the kind of policies. If you're working for like a State Farm and you go, well, I'm going to sell a certain number of life policies, auto policies, homeowners policies. If you're in the services industry, you're going to bill a certain number of hours. That means I need to have a certain number of clients on average to do whatever. Convert it to people. Convert it to people. Now, that might take you a little bit of time, and it might need some assistance from someone if you're in a network marketing business, from your upline, for an example. If you're in a services industry, retail customers, you can figure this out. Sale per customer times number of customers. How many more customers do you need to bring into your building? Well, I haven't got money for advertising. You'll start to hear all kinds of voices coming into your head to cut you out of this opportunity for the creation of this outcome. Don't go there yet. Just be open to possibilities and trust that the doors will start to open if you do this properly. So get clear on the number of people. Once you have the number of people for the year, break it down into the number needed per month, per week, and if necessary, per day. Now, from this point forward for the balance of the year, all we're going to focus on is finding those people. That's it. We're going to find those people. We find them, serve them, they buy our services and products, and at the end of the year, miraculously, there's our income. And we didn't have to worry about money all year long. We got to focus on serving people. This is a great way to live. Great way to live. Now I'm going to take you to another level. Everybody got that so far? Go a year in the future. Get a really clear impression. Just check it against reality to make sure that it's not a fantasy. Decide what you're going to do with that money so it's clear in your mind. Then convert that to the number of lives that will need to be impacted by your business. You might be in the cabinet business. Okay, how many people would like new pairs of sets of cabinets? How many condos might I need to put cabinets in? How many customers would I need to serve? Contractors would I need to work with? Same thing. Get really clear on what that number is. But Dave, this seems like a lot of work. Yeah. But it sure beats just a shotgun blasting them from the air. It's like my son and I, when we used to go duck hunting, somebody'd say, how we doing? We'd say we shot, 50 holes in the sky. You know, okay? This is creating a rifle shot. Right at a bullseye. Because once we know how many people, then we're going to focus on the kind of person. What kind of person? Now, when I went through this visualization with a client, they happened to be in the network marketing business. And I've shared this approach, but it applies to any business. Any business. It'll help you target your market. If you truly want to engage and embrace and connect and serve and create value and contribute, if that's really what you want to do, if that's your intention, then you can do this next piece with credibility. It's mental rehearsal at the highest level. You can do mental rehearsal. Highest level. And this is what I did with this client. Think about this as like a metaphor for what you might be able to do. I said, I want you to see yourself at a convention. And you've been asked to speak. This is something they really wanted to do. So they're in front of the convention, ready to speak. And I said, I want you to deliver your speech on how did you manage to reach your goals this year? What things might you share? And they had all kinds of ideas. I said, okay, you're standing up there, you're presenting, you've got your PowerPoint, all this is happening. I want you to imagine that you look down at the front row just as you're ready to begin. And we decided they needed 52 people, one a week. And on the tables right in front of them were the 52 people. There they were. Can you see them? Oh, yeah, I can see them. Okay. I want you to have them stand one at a time and tell the audience how you met that person. Tell us their name, what they do for a living, how the conversation began. What did you say? What did they say in response? How long did it take? What did you do to finally get through to them? Do I make this stuff up? And I said, no. Just be open to ideas. Just be open. Now, we didn't go through all 52 in the coaching session. That was their assignment. This is Harold. I met Harold at the bank. He was a teller. He gave great service. And on the story goes, and it unfolds. Well, the secret to this kind of a mental rehearsal isn't that we're looking for Harold, or we're looking for a bank teller, or the conversation goes exactly as thought. It is a way for us to be taught who to look for and where. This person finishes with the 52. As they walk amongst the human race, they're looking differently. They're listening differently. They're striking up conversations with people they'd never talked to before. They're not throwing up on people anymore. They're finding out what people's needs really are and finding out there's any way what they do could be of service before they ever say anything. And conversations begin to open, and they meet wonderful people. Some of them just become friends. Some of them buy their products. Some of them want to join them in their business. That's mental rehearsal. It gives us a vision that further inspires us, that further lights up our passion to drive our focus. Can you hear that? Focus. I'm out and I'm differently focused. I focus. Discipline. I'm actually doing it. Focus, discipline, effort, and action. You might say, well, I own a shoe store. Okay? You start thinking about the kinds of people that will come in. You start thinking of the kinds of reasons why they might be looking. And you start to see some patterns in age groups that are having experiences with their weight and maybe wanting to get in better shape. Or you have a whole bunch of marathoners who come in and you start getting in touch with the marathons that are going to be running around the area. Or special events for high school. And all of a sudden you get this idea, I should show up and do this. That's a lot cheaper than placing an ad as a shotgun to the community. I can't even afford to do that, but I could show up and hand out flyers. I could show up maybe with a small booth. I could do, and all of a sudden, we're meeting some of those people. They're coming into our store, and they're buying our shoes. It's not an accident. We got shown where and how to market our business. That's mental rehearsal. This isn't ooh-ah stuff. I was lying in bed last night, pondering this very topic, having a conversation with that power, wanting so badly to bless the lives of the people that we'll visit with today, to arm them with principles, ways that would assist them to create things they haven't been able to figure out how to create today. And all that keeps coming back is emphasize this point. Tell them to go on the stage of their mind and invite me to come. And have them come with an absolute intention to serve and bless the lives of others, and I will be there. And I will inspire them. And if they'll listen and they'll trust and act on it, they will receive evidence for themselves. Because until they do, there's only so much you can say, Dave. So I hope you can hear this. be at age 85. It's where you are. It's not where I'm going to be income-wise a year from now. It's where you are. Where you are supposed to be. Supposed to be. And then working back in a very systematic nature. And then mentally rehearsing the people. And then stepping into action and getting over our fear. We had a coach tell us a story Monday in our coach training. I won't mention her name. She's just one of my favorite people on the planet. She was telling us months ago about, she was just starting her coaching practice, and she was going to a networking event. She didn't want to go to the networking event. She said, I'm uncomfortable. It was in another city. It was expensive to park downtown at this city, and it was in a high-rise and all that kind of stuff. She just didn't want to do it. But she convinced herself to do it. She just dove in. She drove in, parked the car, you know, went in, went up the escalator, went into the room. There's 1,000 people in the room. That's a lot of people. Everybody's mingling, talking. She's feeling uncomfortable. Ah! What do you think she did? Uh-huh. She tucked her tail and ran. Anybody been doing something like that? She went down the escalator, got in her car, went up around the block and stopped the car and said, what am I doing? And she went back and talked the garage into letting her park on the original ticket so she wouldn't have to pay more money. Oh, she did that, but that's what she did. She went back in, went up the escalator, and the first woman that she saw, she struck up a conversation. No agenda. No baggage, just stepping into her world, practicing the principles, committed to serve, recommitted to engage in life, really, truly wanting to serve somebody. That very first lady she talked to is now one of her best coaching clients. And I'm sure it will be a great source of referred leads to other people. Now, why do I tell a story like that about one of our coaches? All of us are going through the same stuff. Mental rehearsal is to get clear about possibilities. Now she mentally rehearses everything. She now knows that if she'll do that, show up, she'll meet a person, it will turn into something interesting, if nothing more than a friend. And some will turn into coaching clients. Some will return into people who refer her to other people. So that's a coaching business. What's your business? What are you doing? Can you go a year from now and get a clear vision of your income? Decide what you're going to do with the excess? Convert it to people? Work backwards and then use the principle of mental rehearsal and actually invite this power in the universe, this force of creation, to join you, to give you an inspired idea or an impression that if you trust will turn into something magnificent, something that would have never happened in your life any other way, someone you would have missed, an opportunity that would have gone by and you wouldn't even have seen it. But because you were mentally rehearsing, it felt different. You listened differently. You asked different questions, and doors opened. Relationships were created. New customers were found. This is how it's supposed to work. This is the secret. We don't get to sit in the easy chair and ask that power to manifest Lamborghinis. That's like saying, look, I really don't want to grow. I don't want to stretch. I don't want to suffer. I want it really easy. I don't want any problems from you or anybody else, so just give me $1 million. And when it doesn't come, we go, what's wrong with me? Am I not worthy? Bottom line, we keep asking for things that are a direct violation of creation itself. There is no way on this earth that power is going to grant something to us that would rob us of an opportunity to grow. But when we truly want to serve, We want to engage. And we ask for an idea, an inspiration. We will get one. And then it's up to us to trust and to act. Jump first. Peace second. Jump first. Peace second. Now we had a text message. Was that for us? For a question? Okay. Thank you. So there's our goal setting exercise. We're gonna end the call just a little early tonight, because I want you to use the time you dedicated to be here to just go someplace quiet. And I want you to invite this force of creation onto the stage of your mind and ponder what it should be like a year from now in your life. Get honest about why you want it. Is it for ease? You'll never get it. Do you want to engage? Embrace? Connect? Great value? Contribute if you do. Then trust the impression. If that's all that happened tonight, you'll be on fire before you go to sleep. You'll know that it's right, that you have a partner in the process. I'm sure that partner won't mind if you explore possibilities, but then convert it to people. And the rest of the year, you're going to focus on finding and serving people, providing them the services and products that you offer, blessing their lives with those services and products. I would encourage you to spend the rest of the evening on this topic. Skip the television. And imagine what it would be like in the morning to wake up, having had a clear vision, and knowing why you're doing what you're doing first thing in the morning, and every day thereafter for the next year. And you intentionally create the outcome, knowing that you have a partner who loves unconditionally every person that you'll talk to. That's my hope tonight. So let's go now and have a few quiet moments and see if we can catch that vision. And next week, we're going to jump into physical creation. This is when we take the actions necessary to create in tangible reality that which we've so clearly seen in our mind. If we have seen it, it will have ignited our passion. We will work tirelessly without counting the cost or tracking the time. And I'll walk you through that process and how beautiful that component is, where you actually bring the pieces into tangible reality and it comes to fruition. And then you see the entire process from inviting that power on the stage of your mind, inspired idea, to inspired outcome.